For November the 9th, 2018, we talk about Red Dead Redemption 2, the Diablo Immortal backlash, and we ask you about your favorite game dialogue. Welcome to Level 263. My name is Cole Ross.
My name's Steven Meismith.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level, a podcast for people who love video games. So I cannot speak to how frequently this combination comes up, but Ben, you made the prediction that this is possibly the combination.
Sort of the quick combo.
The combo of hosts that will lead to the quickest episode. Mm-hmm. So we will see.
I feel like we need, Darkest Dungeon, depending on what combination of classes you have, they, have a title. I feel like we need that for hosts.
just do team names.
Yeah.
Like how on the Flophouse, when it's Dan, Stewart, and Elliot, they call themselves the Original Peaches. Yeah. I don't know. So hopefully, and this is going to be let's hope this holds true. I've got some cough drops just in case. Hopefully my bronchitis is not going to make this episode a downer. I think I cut out upwards of 50 coughing fits from last week's episode.
I'll do my best to not react to you coughing again this week.
You did fine last time. And hopefully you won't have an awful lot to respond to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's been my story is recovering from being sick. I've got like weird little like prosaic everyday things. Like I got a new phone and I sold an old bed today.
Like a bed frame or a bed mattress?
Bed frame. I don't know that I would sell another person one of my mattresses. Would have to be I'd really have to know them. I think.
Why?
I don't know. Like, they can use all those skin cells for witchcraft.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you end up with a clone, trying to kill you.
Yeah. And, if you think child support's bad, try clone support,
I'm gonna say, if you have a clone that tries to kill you, that's a little bit on you that you would try and kill another version of yourself.
I mean, if I walked into a room and there...
Haven't you seen The One?
Many times.
If I walked into a room and I was sitting there, I would probably I wouldn't know what to do. I'd just run out and try and make sure it didn't move anymore.
Really? You want to just talk to it and hang out with it?
I wouldn't want to give it a chance.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I've just got a bunch of boring stuff. Like, I've got my garage back because a bed isn't sitting in there anymore. Stuff like that. So I will ask you two to save me. Because you both live in interesting cities, David, what's going on?
It's gone cold.
how are you adapting to winter time out there in NYC?
So I actually just today, my parents, mailed me or I received from, a winter jacket. So that is a definite plus.
That's good.
Yeah. Other than that, not too much going on. I kind of want to go see. Have you guys seen any of the news story? Actually, Jala originally clued me in with the Mandarin Duck that is showed up in New York.
No. This sounds like it is attuned to my interest. What's up with that duck?
So apparently in the middle of a pond in Central Park, this rare Chinese breed of duck has shown up, and no one can figure out how it got there.
Okay.
Because doesn't naturally live in America, and they checked with all the zoos around and stuff, and it didn't escape from there. And so it's just kind of chilling and being a celebrity. And according to the article I read, apparently the other ducks are being friendly to it. So, I mean, I guess there's that.
So it's not being harassed for being different.
Apparently not. Huh. So
look at that handsome duck.
Yeah,
that's I just in case we were curious about the appearance of this guy. Man, that is a really fashionable boy or girl. I'm not sure if it's a male or female.
It looks like a Pokemon almost.
It does.
Yeah, it kind of does.
I'm a little bit thrown off by its very pointy bill. I'm used to the wider, flatter bill on a duck. Huh. No, so, this is very welcome news.
I kind of want to look at what is the Chinese word for duck now?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. I'm sorry. Did you expect? Is it ya?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So you can say hey ya to the duck in Central Park.
Oh. Very cool. How about you, Ben?
You can openly boo me, by the way, if you want to.
No, it's fine.
I'm doing okay. I watched two dogs over the weekend last weekend, one of our neighbors and then one of my roommates. So that was fun, trying to make them happy. Mm-hmm. And then this coming week, I'm getting a visit from my dad who's coming in to hang out. So I'm trying to plan things to do around town in Austin. So
cool.
Yeah.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we've got stuff going on. I don't see any reason why we should postpone. Let's see here. So we've got the regular kind of show for you, the brief, the multiplayer, and the grind. And why don't we get started with
the brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. Not an awful lot of big stories, except, okay. So let me clarify. There are big stories, but almost all of them have to do with very angry fans.
Yeah, it's been a week of backlashes.
Yes. So this is Salt Week. The weather is cooling down and lots of salt is being spread on the ground to stop the ice from freezing.
Apparently people are internalizing that.
Yes, people, they have figured out a cheap way to produce it. People were angry about that Smash Brothers thing. Like, everybody's upset that there's a piranha plant. But the bigger one that I want to talk about is BlizzCon, which happened this past week, where really the big announcement and one that Blizzard was alluding to was, hey, we've got something big and new for Diablo fans. And the announcement was Diablo Immortal, which is a mobile game. The problem being that it is not a full-fledged Diablo game like people expected. Additionally, this is kind of a palette swap or asset swap of an existing game by a Chinese developer that is incredibly, based on reports and things that I've read, that has a very exploitative loot system. Loot box system. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Diablo, but I am led to believe that one of the primary things that makes Diablo fun to play is its loot system.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So people are rightfully upset.
It's also kind of a knock against Blizzard because they're always known as like having very high quality control, similar to Valve, over their games.
Yes.
And to just reskin an existing game seems a little bit lazy on their end.
Yeah, this is...
There's a really, really good article on Polygon kind of, you know, discussing, you know, kind of that idea and why people are angry. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the points it made is that made a lot of sense to me was, you know, Blizzard is kind of, you know, known for taking established, you know, concepts and, you know, making... you know, really great, you know, better games about them.
Right.
Whereas taking like a third party, taking a Blizzard game and making a crappy version is basically every mobile game.
Lots of them. Yeah. So, especially yes. the slot machine appeal of, you know, killing something in a Diablo game.
Right. Mm-hmm. So kind of the point being like that this is really in a lot of ways kind of a non-announcement. You know, it's just we're going to make more of that game that already has flooded the market.
Right. So this is going to be a game that uses the proper names and, you know, maybe some recognizable designs that you can probably play on your phone. So what's funny about this And, you know, it's kind of weird, you know, what will make people angry and what won't make them angry. So I'm thinking about, what was it earlier this year? Was it E3? No, it was the EA presentation where they showed this weird mobile strategy game that was basically like a little MOBA. You had lanes and stuff. And you're like, okay, this is weird, but they seem to be trying to sell it, whatever it is. And then just as a little afterthought, they said, and this is Command and Conquer. And like, oh, so that's what Command and Conquer became. And then I never heard another thing about it. If people were angry, I didn't see the backlash. Whereas for this, like, this is rightfully, you know, like, people are like tweeting Donald Trump to make him stop this from happening. Like, I don't know what it is. I'm serious. I said maybe it was a joke that somebody did that, but like, people are very, very upset, that like, oh, how the mighty has fallen, etc. Is it, I mean, it saying it out loud, I started that saying like, okay, I wonder what makes one worth being upset and the other just fall off the radar. People just maybe didn't have an expectation of EA and whatever studio made that. Whereas yeah, with Diablo, EA's they
already
do.
Sold out.
Well, I'm just like, people already are, you know, they didn't expect it to be anything good. So when it wasn't anything good, like, okay, yeah. Whereas this is, you know, it defies expectations. The actual story that I brought for this, you know, as
silver lining,
maybe a silver lining. It still doesn't really change what happened. Then it doesn't change Diablo Immortal. They were going to announce Diablo 4. People who are close to Blizzard said that the plan didn't change until a couple of weeks before BlizzCon. Like, that was going to be the centerpiece announcement. And instead, what they were left with was, we announced this mobile game and that's it. The other things that they rolled out were, like, they rolled out a hero for Overwatch, that not a lot of people seem too crazy about. They rolled out, some like minor Hearthstone and WoW stuff, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. And it was going to be a teaser that they were going to show for, Diablo 4. Yeah.
And that starts the clock, because the second Blizzard acknowledges that a game of theirs is going to exist, that means that it won't come out for another 5 or 6 years. So now we are waiting 6 or 7 years from now.
And the article you shared said that specifically they were worried about the reason why they pulled it is they were worried that the game was going to undergo further revisions, because it's already on the like second or third revision of the game under different game directors. So
And they got burned in the past. Like with Diablo 3, they showed one version and everybody got really, really upset, either that it was too colorful or it wasn't colorful enough. Or they showed one that was more realistic and dark, and then the one that came out was, I don't know, something shitty. Like that. It's just like, I don't know, Blizzard, what is that, Bethesda? There are just some of these studios that I never hear anybody say good things about. Like, they only exist on the internet when they are mentioned. It is with complete venom and invective. And I wonder why they still exist. Somebody's buying those games, but nobody that I see talking about them ever is like positive about it. I don't know.
So I guess maybe the lesson is, don't make games that people can just angrily play, because then you attract angry fans.
Maybe.
I feel like people don't do this with like Nintendo, right? Like, even if, like, people, I guess people are disappointed in like Piranha Plant, but
yeah,
I don't know.
But I feel like Nintendo, you know, tends to make good games.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's the, you know, the one constant. As long as you make good games, do whatever you want.
Right.
They haven't pivoted like Konami has, or like Blizzard apparently has. So,
yeah.
Like, if Diablo 3 had been good, I don't think people would have cared.
Yeah. I don't know, but like they've made a bunch of versions of Diablo 3. Like, people joke about Skyrim, but like Diablo 3 is a similar one that they've just rolled out again and again. Like, you know, it just came out on the Switch, etc.
Yeah, and yeah. I feel like, at least for me, that was kind of my beef with it is, you know, Diablo, or rather Blizzard and Valve were kind of the two companies that I felt you could always buy their products, because even if like they sucked when they came out, they always made good on them. And I felt like Diablo 3, they didn't really do that because they tried to sell the versions where they eventually made good.
But I mean, if you bought the original Diablo 3, all of those big revisions where they did make it better, you just got those. They only released the one expansion.
I don't think so. My understanding is that most of the changes made for consoles, which were what apparently made it worth playing, have not been added to PC.
Weird. I know. Just all that I know is they changed the loot system, and that was the big thing that people got really upset about. Ben, you brought the story as well. Did you have something that you wanted to add that I have missed?
Yeah, the only thing I was going to add is like the one remark that a lot of people are referencing is like the people who are presenting Diablo Infinite or whatever were saying like, don't you guys have phones or whatever? Like dismissing like the core idea of like them not wanting to be able to play it on PC and have like a PC standalone game. So I don't know. I know that that's like the mark or that's the comment that's been kind of thrown around the rest of the internet.
It's like, oh, you guys are angry that we're not making it for PCs, but phones exist. Yeah, phones and PCs exist. The games that we like are on PCs, man.
Yeah. But that said, I don't want to like get pitchforks out for the people who are presenting because I'm sure they're in a very like high stress situation.
They had to know that was going to land with a thud.
Yeah,
like that sucks. And like it's the I only watched like a highlight video or whatever, but you could hear a pin drop in that room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it is worth considering that these are all people that paid to be there.
Yes, they paid to see trailers.
Yeah.
Oops. Oh, David, what is the other story that we have here of possible publishers being weird?
Yeah. So basically, the Rainbow Six Siege is being released for in China, and consequently the all versions of the game, including like the US, European, et cetera, versions are being censored according to Chinese censorship policies.
Mm-hmm.
So that includes apparently removing blood stains, depictions of skulls, sexual content, and any depictions of gambling. And
but they're absolutely okay with militarized police barging into private residences and opening fire.
Say that again.
But they're absolutely okay with militarized police bursting into private residences and opening fire.
Well, I mean, sorry. And as you might imagine, people are kind of upset. And that's basically the story.
So, different versions of games for specifically the Chinese market, that's not a new thing. I don't understand.
I mean, it's already questionable, but
I mean, just like different, different countries and different cultures can have their own hangups about particular things. I don't see why all of the like most of the things that I'm seeing here, and this could just be a cross section. I don't see why a person who's playing this in China couldn't just see like a different thing than somebody who's playing it in America, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, because that would require effort on their part, and this game is published by Ubisoft.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm confused by the censorship of like slot machines and stuff, because gambling is like a big thing in certain parts of China. I know, because like what I know from it is like I know in like China, like gambling is like a different kind of culture than it is in America, where like people like are much more into like table games there, and like they drink tea there instead of like beer, and they're like very superstitious about like trying to make the right call and stuff like that, and like don't play slot machines as much, mm-hmm. So maybe that's why they're getting rid of slot machines.
Maybe and just like that there's good gambling and bad gambling, possibly
the peasants gambling. Yeah,
maybe.
Well, and what I looked into, because I was curious why the skulls thing,
Oh, that's a yeah, that's a major thing.
I've heard that before, and you know, any you know, anti-spooky skeleton policies is, you know, very, very relevant to our discussions.
Yeah, but it's taboo, right?
And as this described it, it's not necessarily that there's any specific government policy so much as it is it's just cheaper for game companies to censor everything than it is to, you know, actually try to work with the, you know, powers that be and, you know, figure out what they need to do.
Yeah. I wasn't aware of this. Apparently, so Call of Duty had to come out over there because, you know, it's a big market. Call of Duty is known for its zombie modes. I guess they replaced the zombies with cyborgs. I would be far more interested in that than zombies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Huh. So. Weird.
Yeah, but I mean, I think either way, though, like, I know, just the idea that, you know, China's backward censorship stuff is going to be inflicted on the rest of the world seems really disturbing.
It's, yeah, that is a bummer and a bit of an overreach and definitely like an example of, okay, well, I guess we're all going to follow the money, which is what Ubisoft is doing. Yeah, I just like if all of this is cosmetic and there may be. And you know, and there may be some changes that are not cosmetic. It is tempting for me to say, why would you be angry if this isn't actually changing the way the game plays? But I have no idea how important this stuff is to somebody who plays it because I've never played that game. And
well,
also,
I think it's by far more principal thing.
Right, right.
Like I'll be honest, like I have a problem with them censoring it at all. But. You know, even for, you know, the China release, but I, you know, that's something that, you know, corporations gonna corporate.
Yeah, it's like, I kind of like disagree with like censoring things. You should just like be sensitive about it, I guess, in the sense of always like be like, hey, like trigger warning or something like that, if there's something like very offensive and something. But yeah, I also understand that if the goal of the company is to make as much money as possible, and to try and make it as relatable as possible in a different country, then I can understand why they would do that. I just disagree with it.
Yeah.
I also think it would be different if it was like changing something for, you know, specific, you know, actual cultural.
Yeah. Like the Fallout mini nuke like makes sense. And that's like, that's understandable. Totally.
Yeah.
So like stuff like that, I think would be, very different, but that doesn't seem like that's what this is.
Yeah, if it was done out of sensitivities to like, oh, something that is that cuts to the quick of a certain culture, like you go out of your way to be accommodating for it. You don't it doesn't necessarily feel good to go out of your way to be accommodating to, you know, the interests of a huge state, right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Hmm. We're going to see a lot more of this. This is not the last of this kind of thing. Hopefully, I mean, hopefully some kind of backlash will make it so the next time this kind of thing comes up on the table, companies see fit to put forth the effort and say like, all right, there's a version for them and there's a version for us. And if we're interested in having them work together, we will work around that and we won't let one particular country dictate what we do with our game, especially a game that already existed before you sent it out there. Huh. Man, now there's so much stuff people are just getting angry about. I don't want to talk about fun stuff.
And it's not even Tuesday.
Yeah, you're right.
We haven't even had an election yet.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't want to think about that.
Whatever, it's not going to be as bad as the last election that we had recorded on.
Who knows? That's blah. All right, well, let's do the multiplayer before I get too bummed out.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. The question this time was put up by Jala, and she is not here right now, so I will read the question and then the first answer. What is your favorite line of dialogue from a game? And the image for this is pretty good. It is the screen from Bad Dudes, a game that nobody talks about, but the screen comes up. The president has been kidnapped by ninjas. Are you a bad enough dude? Man, we need to do that. We need to do that for Abject Suffering. Anyway, Jack starts us off saying, I know it is memerific, but what is a man? A miserable little pile of secrets. It's the disdainful toss of the wine glass that seals it for me. That is Symphony of the Night and Richard Dracula. Nobody ever says his first name.
For some reason, I thought that could have been in Bioshock. I didn't recognize where the quote was, but I thought it could have been that.
Yeah. So that line in and of itself, out of context, is kind of like, okay, yeah, it's overwrought and kind of goofy. The thing that makes it so goofy is the fact that it does kind of come out of nowhere in the middle of his speech that he gives at the beginning of the game. Yeah. Weird. Let's see here. David, what does Douglas say?
Douglas says, I'm here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
That is Duke Nukem. This is going to be a fun game where people who do not cite their quotes,
and see if we can originally pick it up. From They Live, though?
Maybe. But that was the thing that Duke Nukem always did is just take shit from different references. Places. Yeah.
Oh. Yes, it is in They Live as well.
Yes. Old Rowdy Roddy Piper. What do you think he did to earn that rowdy? How rowdy do you have to be for that to be part of your name? And do you have to start just busting up people's pots and pans?
How many people did The Undertaker have to bury before they could call him The Undertaker?
I don't know. I think he ran for that. I think in some places Undertaker is like coroner. Did you know in a lot of places you don't actually have to have medical credentials to be elected coroner?
All right, new career path.
Just have to be able to say he's dead.
Ben, what does Justin say?
Justin says, look at you, hacker, a pathetic creature of meat and bone, panting and sweating as you run through my corridors. How can you challenge a perfect immortal machine?
Do you know what that's from?
I don't know what that's from.
David?
No idea.
That is System Shock 2, something Shodan says. Yeah, that's a good quote. Shodan's good. I don't like that game very much, but Shodan's good. Yeah. Javier says, they played us like a damn fiddle. Cos Miller. Master Miller, the person who has 20 different names across the entirety of Metal Gear Solid. Oh.
That sounds like that's sums up pretty much all of his dialogue, at least in 5.
Yep. I'm angry. Is Kaz's thing. And then there's that one tape of him trying to make the perfect hamburger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes I talk about judo.
You know, of course. Yeah. Let's see. David. Well, okay. So this is, there's a video here. David, what does Devin say?
Devin says, this guy is unfucking believable.
Yeah, so Christopher Walken starred in an FMV game called Ripper. And so this guy is unfucking believable.
Yeah, Foo Fighters.
Oh. Ben, what does Mike say?
Mike says, at the end of Final Fantasy X, when Tidus confronts Jecht, you got tall, but you're all bones. I grew up, but you're still bigger. Well, I am Sin, you know. That's not funny.
What?
Yeah, Tidus's dad becomes the new vessel for Sin. It makes sense in the game.
Still doesn't make that exchange make any sense.
Well, I am Sin, you know. That's not funny. Like, he's trying to play it off legit. And, you know, like he is not a monster who periodically destroys the entire world. Greg says, well, my top choices were taken already. People jumped on this one fast. But I've always liked, thank you, Mario, but our princess is in another castle. Huh, huh, just kidding. Peach from Super Mario Bros. 3. After the last few stages, I'm not in the mood to get traumatized by memories of the original Super Mario Bros. Well played, though, Nintendo. See, it was a fake out on the fake out. Is what they did in Super Mario 3.
Fake 2 out.
Let's see. David, what does Adam say?
Adam says, I really enjoyed that first part in Gears of War 2 when you get the sniper rifle and Marcus starts counting off the kills. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5, motherfuckers! Sorry. I guess that plays differently if you play with language and gore sensors.
Remind me, one of you might have played this. Was Gears of War one of the games where if you turned off gore, it would have like rainbows and like fireworks pop out if you shot somebody? I think that might have been the case, but I might also be making that up.
I only played that game once and it was with gore on, so I don't know.
Yeah. You know, the gore is part of the reason. Ben, what does Roop say?
Roop posts a quote between Grace Nakamura and Gabriel Knight. Grace, mm-hmm. If you try and look down my shirt one more time, I'm leaving.
I'm just trying to refresh my memory.
I know what you're trying to refresh, and it isn't your memory. Get down.
Oh, Grace and Gabriel. I hope they ended up together. It doesn't seem likely. let's see here. Carson says, time crisis. Random enemies sometimes say, shucks. It's like it's like River City Ransom where they say barf. David, what does Mark say?
Mark says, in Halo 2, the shaming of Belvedere, Arbiter, if they came to hear me beg, they will be disappointed. Send shivers up my spine every time.
Was that when the Arbiter was like, hey, Covenant folks, you want me to feel dishonored for working with the humans, but I'm not gonna let that happen. You instead are going to feel bad instead of me feeling bad. Is that what that is?
And then you're all going to die.
Right. Okay. And then we're going to fight a space ape. Yeah.
Then we're going to listen to Incubus and fight.
Oh, yeah. Ben, what does Rob say?
Rob says, Space Quest 6, what's your mama call you? A mistake, but my friends call me Roger.
Oh, so see, Roger Wilco, you don't need to do intentional cell phones. Lindsay says, Gavlin Deal.
I do not know this one.
That is, there's a merchant. It's like a dwarf merchant in Dark Souls 2. Who speaks in incomplete sentences, and there are two things about Gavlin: Gavlin Wheel and Gavlin Deal. David, I'm going to need you to do Alexander's because it's going to make me cry. So,
okay, I have no context for this, but had to be me. Someone else might have gotten it wrong.
Yeah, that was one of the ones I first thought of when I heard this question.
Yeah, man, fuck, Morden is so good. Ben, what does Conrad say?
Conrad says, Timmy from Giants, Citizen Kabuto.
So that lines up. I think Giants came out in around 2000. Would it still have been fun or acceptable for somebody to joke about Timmy from South Park? That was a weird era where we just had a character whose whole thing, his catchphrase was that he was mentally handicapped and he said his own name a lot. Michael says, either end of the Mass Effect spectrum. You exist because we allow it, and you will end because we demand it. Sovereign from ME1, or my face is tired. Foster Addison from Mass Effect Andromeda. My face is tired.
I feel like that could be the tagline for that game.
My face. Oh no, my face. David, what does Michael say?
Michael says, take one last look at your shining heaven, Imperius, for soon nothing of it shall remain but my laughter. Diablo in Diablo 3.
Yeah, nothing of it will. So is the laughter part of heaven? Diablo, I need you to clarify for me. Diablo, can you go back? Can we get a second pass on that menacing boast? Yeah, no, that's I'm positive in context. That is very good. Let's see, Ben, what does Sam say?
So I'm not sure if this is censored or not, but his quote is FK in the coffee by Francis York Morgan.
Yes, from Deadly Premonition. It is not censored. It is FK. Okay. Occasionally, Francis York Morgan, he sees premonitions in his coffee. That is not the Deadly Premonition, but, you know, he gets clues by gazing into the pattern of the cream. Yeah. Marisan says, so what's up? You want to fight with... Sorry. So what's up? You want to fight me with that little pea shooter? Yes or no? Balrog and Cave Story. This really sets up the game in my eyes. Cave Story is really good. I'm due to go back and play that again. That's a very fun game. David, what does Austin say?
Austin says, the only good thing about Bulletstorm was the childish dialogue, such as, what? What does that even mean? You're going to kill my dick? I'll kill your dick. How about that, huh?
Gentlemen, please. Somebody's dick is going to die. That's all we can agree on. Okay, let's find common ground here. Oh, and then Ben, what does Franz say?
Franz says, I like Bloodborne's. You're a hunter with the sanity, aren't you? Must have taken a wrong turn then. Mostly because of the delivery. I also like a bomb from Deus Ex because of the delivery, but in a very different way.
A bomb.
Was that the one where the random homeless guy threatens that he's carrying a bomb, or am I thinking of something else?
It's when JC Denton figures out that somebody has planted a bomb on his helicopter.
Okay.
Yeah.
I still, one of my favorite lines from that is, you know, you find a random homeless guy who tells you, you know, keep back, you know, I've got a bomb, and your response in his just entirely monotone voice is just, a bomb is a poor choice for a close range weapon.
Yeah, it's a different one. He's got a lot of opinions about bombs, and he does not voice them very strongly. Very, very blasé.
Soft opinions.
Yeah, very blasé about these bombs. For me, I don't know about favorite, but it's one that stuck out to me. I don't know, like maybe not so much because it's so well written, but just because I kind of agree with it. Night in the Woods, a character named Angus is talking about, life and philosophy and things. And he says, I believe in a universe that doesn't care and people who do.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So that lines up with me personally. That has stuck with me since then. David, how about you?
This is a tough one. I think pretty much any of the dialogue from Bloodborne is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Destiny's. You know, I don't have time to explain why I don't have time to understand. just because it's perfect. The other one I discovered recently, via the wonders of YouTube, is that in was it Mega Man 7, Dr. Light apparently had the voice of Homestar Runner.
Mega Man 8. He had a little bit of
eight?
A little bit of a Elmer Fudd thing going on.
Yeah, which is pretty amazing. So those are all pretty good. In terms of just horrible voices, it would again have to be the Stalker series for just, I think, not understanding how people who speak English talk.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, not native speakers.
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah.
I always wonder though on these like bad translations, the things like that. It's like, why didn't anyone ever tell them?
It wouldn't hurt their feelings, you know?
It was implied, yeah.
Yeah. Ben, how about you?
I think one that's innocuous but that's always stuck with me is, what are you buying?
Okay.
And but one that I like actually think is a good quote that I've always like that has also stuck with me for content purposes is one from Grand Theft Auto 4 where he says, "War is when the young and stupid are tricked by the old and bitter into killing each other."
Oh yeah,
yeah,
okay. I like that.
So one from you mentioned in the words that I love just I don't know because is oh what's the fox that's your friend?
Greg.
Yeah, I love his quote where he explains he doesn't have a motorcycle because motorcycles are for kids while adults ride mopeds. just because I love the fact that that makes no sense, but it's the sort of nonsense that someone would like actually be an opinion someone would have.
Yeah, Greg's great. God, that like so the further I get away from like actually playing that game and not being kind of, you know, cranky about all the walking around and stuff, when I just think about the writing and the characters and situations, like all of that comes into clear focus and like, man, what a special game that is. Just all the dialogue and writing is amazing in that.
Have to wait until the Christmas sale.
I was just
sale.
Overjoyed when I realized that the more masculine half of the gay couple is a bear.
I forgot. I guess I didn't think about that. Angus is good, especially if you get him to warm up to you. He's the guy who says the I believe in a universe that doesn't care but people who do.
Okay. Yeah, that yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you for sharing, everybody. If you want to participate in these, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. Watch for those prompts to go up on Monday afternoons. And thanks to Jala for putting this up, even though she wasn't able to be here.
The grind.
Now it is time for the grind, where we talk about the things we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Ben, I want to hear about Red Dead.
Okay. How far are you in Red Dead?
I have installed it.
All right. So you're like halfway through playing and beating the game then, yeah.
I mean, if by halfway through you mean I just put it on before I went to bed and it was fine.
I'm commenting more on the install time that it takes to play the game.
Oh yeah, and I was more commenting on why is anybody upset about this? You can just like sleep through it. It's fine.
Yeah, no, I understand why people are upset because if you buy a game and like you come home,
you want to be able to play it. Yeah,
you're not expecting to have to play it in like 6 hours from now.
I suppose. That is the benefit that I get for by waiting. I suppose.
Yeah,
I feel like though this needs to be remembered that next time someone says the whole like, oh well, I like playing on console because I can just pop the game in and play.
Oh yeah, that is exceedingly untrue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least there's... on PS4 it's like I like playing on PS4 because I love spending an hour deleting things before I can play any games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there are 4 or 5 casualties to games on my PS4. So
So I have not started it yet. I used my limited personal playtime to do a little bit of Call of Cthulhu, but I'm curious because you have spent more time with it. I assume you are out of the starting area.
Yeah, I've spent a good chunk of time in the game. I'm on chapter 3, which I just looked up as we were recording. Apparently there's 6 chapters, so I thought I was further along than I was, but so that's how far I am in the game. The game has opened up. I kind of have free reign to get to most places on the map. A lot of the mechanics have opened up. I can do fishing. I can do hunting. I can rob a train, those types of things. it's very much in line with the GTA type games where most of the missions are excuses to show you mechanics of the game and how it works.
Right.
More so than anything else. It's good. I was talking to someone about it over the week who was not enjoying the game or they're having a hard time getting into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling them, like, I think most of my enjoyment of the game comes from, like, playing it and looking at the different systems that they created in the game and being like, oh, that's, like, really neat that they did that. Or, like the weather system's, like, really cool. Or, mm-hmm. like, you know, like, you just ride through certain areas of the map and it just looks, like, gorgeous. You know, like, and so it's weird for that to be the part of enjoyment of the game, not, like, the minute-to-minute, like... the shootouts are fine and stuff like that, but it's, I mean, it's like any other game with a shooting system, right? You just point and kill people or whatever.
No.
There's not really, there's not really any interesting mechanics going on. There are some interesting, there are a few interesting gameplay mechanics where they have systems like you can clean your gun with gun oil to improve the stats on it, which is interesting. And you can buy different components for your gun to upgrade it. So there's kind of like a limited, you know, like mechanic or limited mini meta game in there that's kind of interesting. There's things that you can do with your horse that, where you can bond with your horse. And the more that you bond with your horse, the more like moves that get unlocked that you can do when you're riding with it. So like you can, you can do like, yeah, I know it sounds weird, right? Like you can do sharp turns with it. Like if you reach a certain level, or there's like one where it can like straddle more. I think what I've read online is like horse drifting, where it can kind of go from side to side.
Right.
Because the surprising mechanic of the game is it's really easy to run into a tree and just fall off your horse and possibly injure your horse and possibly injure you. So it's interesting that that's part of the game. So like that's kind of a reason for staying on the paths is like, well, if I'm running through this woods, I might run into a tree and that'd suck. Anyway, like so some of those mechanics are kind of interesting. There's a mechanic where you have random encounters with people, and that's pretty that happens pretty often, you know, as you're going from point A to point B. It won't be in the middle of like a main mission, but if it's like maybe a side mission you're going between areas, it might come up. Go ahead.
So that was one of my favorite features of the previous game, was the kind of moral system with that, where you'd end up in you know, the middle of say like a shootout or something and need to make a snap decision to, you know, figure out, you know, which side was the instigator, you know, those sorts of things. Do they maintain that?
There's some of that in this. I don't want to spoil too much, especially if Cole's gonna play it. So I mean, but there's some where it's like, oh, this person says like this person's guilty and this person says he's innocent, like who should I believe, you know?
It sounds like a Witcher thing.
Yeah, there's none that you're gonna like lose your sleep over or anything if you make the wrong decision. I definitely want to go back and play like a more renegade version of the game. The reason why they kind of encourage you not to is if you break the law, you get a higher and higher bounty on you. And I think eventually people will come and try and kill you if you have a high bounty, just try and collect it or whatever.
Stands to reason.
Yeah, so I've been keeping like my bounty kind of zero everywhere. And so that's kind of forced me into a like being a nice cowboy type path or whatever.
Lawman.
Yeah, honorable maybe. I forget what the spectrum is or what they named the poles of the spectrum. Yeah, what else can I say about the game? The story's like fine enough. It's just a Rockstar game, right? There's like zany characters, right? All the side quests you meet, you are these people who are kind of over the top and are very passionate about a certain thing, like a photographer or something like that, you know, or like I don't know, whatever.
So how is your main character? Because I remember really liking John Marston, and especially liking, what was her name, Bonnie from Red Dead 1?
She the woman who owned the ranch you start out at?
Yes, it's kind of in a similar fashion. At the beginning of the game, they don't give you a lot of information about your character. And even where I'm at now, which is like halfway through the game, they haven't really revealed a whole lot about him. There's just kind of like kind of bits and pieces that you pick up from his dialogue with other people. But it's very much like kind of a neutral morality character where he doesn't believe he's like a good guy or anything like that. Like he knows he's part of like a gang and that those, you know, you kill people for money, you know, kind of like sometimes, you know, for little reason. So kind of people in the gang kind of vary in terms of like how moral they are. But yeah, your character Arthur is kind of in the middle, which kind of makes sense because, you know, if they want you to kind of think he could go in either direction. Right.
He needs to be believable if he breaks bad.
Yeah. The voice acting is really good. Like all around. I was looking up like the actors in it. There's like not a single celebrity in it at all. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
That is just like, and again, that's kind of in Rockstar's fashion. Cause, with like GTA 5, like all the main characters. I don't think any of them were really popular people, but they were all very good voice actors.
The biggest star I remember from their voice cast is Danny Tamborelli from Pete and Pete plays the spoiled kid. Like that's all that I remember. And like that voice acting was really good. Like Stephen Ogg did a great job, and he's like a bit character actor on television, you know?
And that's like a pivot, right? Because in the GTA 3 series, that you know, they had Ray Liotta's in Vice City, and they like beefed up their voice acting in San Andreas.
Yeah, and Samuel Jackson playing Tenpenny or whatever his name was.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of interesting to see them pivot back to this, because I mean, I'm sure it's much cheaper for them to do it this way, but I'm glad that they're picking people who have, you know, like interesting voices. They're the voice is very like gruff, and like it's fun to see what almost mispronunciations he has, or like there's certain times where he's just very lazy with his speech in terms of
does he do like malapropisms? Like does he just like, you know, say stuff like incredibly wrong, or is it just like, oh, he's just like he's not very educated, like that's believable?
It's they don't do as much with that. In fact, they kind of do the opposite, where there's certain times where it's the thing where it's like you can tell that there's a group of writers behind this character or whatever, because it will make like snarky one-offs, you know, to foil against these, you know, wacky characters that he interacts with or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But the accent that he has is really like good and similar to like John Marston's of the other of the last game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's enjoyable. There hasn't been any like, what I've been surprised by is there hasn't been a lot of like, I don't even know what the stakes are right now of the game, right? There hasn't been like, I'm pretty sure I know who the main bad guy will be. I'm pretty sure there will be a twist at some point, because it seems like most games have to do that.
But
I'm surprised at like how little of a like main narrative has developed. Like I know all the characters pretty well in terms of like people in the camp or whatever, but I don't know what the overall like plot of the game is supposed to be,
right?
Or like what the stakes are, so to say. So. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of interesting. I definitely want to play it through until so that I can get to all the areas of the map and that I can like finish out the main narrative proper. But yeah, it's definitely a meaty, meaty game. There's a lot of content there. I would say I've probably already put like maybe like 20 to 30 hours in it, maybe.
Wow.
And as I said, I'm not even halfway through the game yet. So
is there a particular side thing or kind of additional system beyond going and doing missions that is really engaging for you?
I played poker for a little bit, and that was like a small moment of I don't know, existential dread or depression or something like this, where it's like I was playing poker and the NPCs were leaving the table and like, all right, I got to go home and like go to my family or whatever. I'm like, oh shit. Like I'm the only staying here.
Oh no.
I know. But, so they have a system where like when you're playing poker at the least, you'll get down to like two people, but it'll usually fill back up. And like, you'll usually be sitting around like three or four people playing at a time. But it's weird. Like if you play it for like half an hour to an hour, that's like a day in game time or something. So you kind of go through a whole cycle there.
And their poker system, is there, are there tells, or is it, are you just watching the cards?
If there are, then I'm not paying attention to them, I guess. I was just trying to play
just by the numbers,
computer game or whatever. Yeah. And just in terms of like when you should bet and when you shouldn't, stuff like that. But, I mean, that was fine. That was whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They do have a shaving system, which sounds like a weird thing to talk about in a game. His hair like slightly grows over time. So I'm trying to grow it all the way out first and then figure out what to cut from there.
Right.
But yeah, that's just so that I have like maximum choice in how I want his final hairstyle to be. So he's becoming slowly becoming a mountain man.
Oh, cool.
I don't know. The one thing I was a little bit disappointed in is I tried to rob a train like naturally or whatever, because like you just see trains going along in the wild or whatever, and they give you, that's kind of one thing that's cool, is like all the mechanics that they teach you are kind of like, there's no like mission start point to do these sorts of things. You just go do them, you know, like they're all like built in mechanics in the game. Same thing with like you can go fishing and stuff and like along the river or whatever, like you can just go do that. You don't need to like go to a spot or whatever to initiate this type of game sequence, which is really cool, you know, that the world's like set up like that. But I was a little bit disappointed when I tried to do a train robbery like the bounty that I got from doing that was higher than any of the valuables that I got by robbing a train. So it's like, oh, I don't think I'm going to do this anymore.
Yeah.
So I wish there was maybe a better way that they could have had that system, I guess. But I don't know. That's a, I guess, a very minor complaint. I guess maybe the other thing of note is they have like a upgrade system for the camp that you're in. So you can like, you know, like the stuff that you get on missions or whatever, you can slowly donate to the camp and give, like, there's like camp funds or whatever. And then you can kind of upgrade the facilities so that they have better like food and ammunition and stuff like that. So that's cool. And yeah, so you can unlock kind of interesting things with that. So it's like a base system or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to say, I guess, too much about it. I guess so far it's like so good. I guess it's like it's a very impressive game. I kind of like think of it kind of as an American version of like Breath of the Wild, where it's like a very impressive world that was created that has really cool things that you can interact with. I think I like this a little bit better than Breath of the Wild in terms, but I think that's like a preference thing. I don't think I would. That's probably going to be true for everyone. Yeah. And yeah, so I think I'll probably try and beat it in the next like week or two.
Nice.
So,
whereabouts does it take place?
I don't think it's unlike the last one. I don't think they try and peg it in a specific like part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I think another thing I read too, there's like a Indian tribe in the game, which I haven't interacted with much at all yet. But that's like a fake Indian tribe. It's not like an actual like Indian tribe. So I think that's kind of what they did with a lot of the things. So a lot of things that like sound like they're actual things. But I guess, for example, there's one city called like Saint Denis or something like that. But it's like it's a city that like doesn't exist in the U.S. But yeah, it's very, very, it's supposed to be a certain city. So.
No, they do, like, I mean, like they do that in San Andreas and with Liberty City as well. Like that's almost a thing, but it's not.
Yeah, but it's, I guess it's a departure from what they do with Red Dead Redemption 1, right? Because Red Dead Redemption 1 was like, this is the, like, I don't know if it's California-Mexico border or like the Texas-Mexico border or whatever.
It was really Eastern, I was surprised. Like it was like part of Arkansas, things like that.
Yeah. So unlike that one, they didn't really peg it down to an actual geographical place. So.
Yeah.
But they still have a lot of cool variants, and that's one thing that I've liked about the map. About the map in Red Dead 2.
So completely random fact. You mentioned the upgrade system with like gun oil and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The reason that firearms of that era were often so integrally engraved was to make them better hoard oil so that they wouldn't corrode.
Hmm.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. I would have thought it would just be, you know, decorative, like, you know, craftsmen doing a thing.
Yeah, yep. Like instead of whittling.
Yeah, you know, whittling with metal. They had a lot of time on their hands.
And very strong knives.
Any final thoughts? Not final thoughts. Anything else you want to say about Red Dead, Ben?
No, I'll be interested to talk to you about it maybe in a week if you get some of it under your belt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Play anything else?
Yeah, I have a couple other things. They're just tiny things. I've started doing a lot more kind of like land party-esque things since there was the Halloween sale last week.
Oh, yeah.
I call it land party, but it's, you know, you're playing with people across the country. I played some Left 4 Dead 2 over the week with, I actually played with Dennis and then one of my friends back in Cincinnati and one of my friends from Vegas. But that was really cool. It was we played Left 4 Dead 2, and we specifically played some missions that I hadn't played before. The one that's like, it's, I think it's called like Hard Rain or Heavy Rain, something like this. And I was really glad I did. It was the premise of the mission is like it's a mission where you go to an endpoint to get gas, and then you come back through the map that you had like gone through or whatever. And so one of the interesting things is you have to like conserve like health packs that you take because you need to save some for the way back. So that was really cool. I played that. I think we played one or two other missions of that. And that's just a really good game to play with friends. So I had a good time doing that, even though that game is like, 10 years old or something. So
doesn't mean it's not so good. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you're playing it, like, you know, you say LAN party, but like what you mean is like intimate co-op with people that you know. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so I did that and did Rocket League, and then I think I played two rounds of like PUBG. That game is frustrating, kind of. But
How is it coming back to that? Because the last time you talked about that was more than a year ago.
so kind of with all the battle royale games, the point of frustration I have with it is like, you have this weird thing where when you first play it, you're incentivized, like if you want to try and make it as far as possible, like a really good strategy to do that is like hide from everyone because then you're probably going to make it to the top 5 or top 10 or something like that. But then the problem with that is you don't actually fight people, and so it's slow for you to learn the mechanics of the game. Then
Right.
on top of that, you don't get good like loot and stuff, so then you're going to be very ill-equipped for fighting whoever you run into eventually.
Right.
And so that's like the one like kind of frustrating thing with the game is like I feel like anytime I interact with someone, like I have like maybe like a 1 in 8 or 1 in 10 chance of killing them before they kill me. So there's like I feel like there's a high learning curve on it, but so that's my only point of frustration. But it's still, even if you lose a bunch, if you're playing with friends, it's still a pretty fun experience. So yeah.
Rolling a squad. Nice. Cool.
That's all I got.
Yeah. I'll do mine because I've got very little. It's all horror themed. So I played I played the opening bit of Call of Cthulhu.
How is it?
It's really neat, actually, the parts that I have seen. So I've not done any combat yet. Things could take a shit as far as that goes, but it is something very cool in the line of like a vampire or a Deus Ex, a very talky, very investigative kind of thing where your stats that you have really impact what you're able to unlock and what you're able to see and how you're able to proceed. So it's got a really standard Lovecraft kind of setup, right? Where you're playing as a private eye who's he's come back from World War I and he's addicted to alcohol and sleeping pills and stuff, and he's about to lose his contract with the investigation company, and he takes like one last ditch job from a guy. His granddaughter or his daughter was a famous painter who lived out on a kind of remote Massachusetts island, who died, her whole family died in a house fire, mysterious circumstances. And her paintings are all like Lovecraft kind of stuff, like people with tentacles and things like that. And so he says, like, yeah, like my daughter's already dead. What I need you to do is clear her name. Like, go out there and like basically find proof that she didn't go out of her mind and kill her husband and my granddaughter, right? Or my grandson or something like that.
Sounds like a happy mission.
So you go out and like the island is just 100% like basically like Innsmouth Light almost, where it's an old like whale fishing island, and everybody's a sailor and a fisherman who really doesn't like outsiders and stuff, and there's already a ton of intrigue going on here. But yeah, like there are checks, so you have different stats that you get. So it's a bit more systemsy than Dark Corners of the Earth, which was more of a first person adventure game before it became like a stealth and combat kind of thing. Like in this one, if you have a strength stat, but so far I have not found a way to use it to like lift something or do combat. Instead, like strength is the underpinning for if you try to intimidate people. And do stuff like that, or
You
like
just flex at them.
Like it's just how powerful your voice is. You're doing yelling training and things like that.
I think they had a similar system in the Knights of the Old Republic 2, maybe. You could use Intimidate if you had high strength.
It's a little bit like I mean, what is it? New Vegas had stat checks, right? Where you could intimidate somebody physically if you could plausibly show that you had the strength to beat the shit out of them. Stuff like that. So it's first person, and the dialogue, it's like on a Mass Effect or Vampire wheel, where you have the different prompts that you select radially. There's jank here for sure, like even around like dialogue kind of things. It seems very weird for a game that has such an emphasis on dialogue that like there's very obviously an order that it expects you to hit the prompts. So like, I was like, okay, well, I'm more interested in Y instead of X, but it's obvious they took one response and split it up into two. So like you say, okay, I want to learn, you know, like tell me about Y. And then it continues a prompt, assuming that you have already heard X. So like that didn't make any sense. I don't have any like, well, what are you talking about? Yeah.
Does it have any sort of quick save? Because I know for Fallout 4, with their kind of similar idea, that was pretty much essential.
There may be quick save on the PC. So far on PS4, like it's really checkpoint heavy. So I don't know. That jankiness, it's not necessarily a deal breaker, you know, because I went into this expecting that. Like,
not only part of the Cthulhu franchise now for video games.
Yeah, it's just you expect it to
in
not,
the books.
you just kind of expect it to, you know, to not have the fit and finish. But like the atmosphere is really cool. It opens up with a sweet dream sequence where you're, you know, in a cavern full of dead whales. you know, it's neat. I'm really excited to see more of it. I'm excited to see what other stuff it tries to do, and especially when the mystery gets into full swing and we start seeing you know, Cthulhu
fishy
monsters
boys
and stuff. Yeah.
So I assume, do they just wholesale jettison the like xenophobia, you know, themes and stuff?
maybe. So I don't know about the themes, right? Because there is definitely a fear of the outsider and a fear of the other. I don't know if like they're going to do the whole thing where all of the worshippers of Cthulhu are, you know, foreigners and people with dark skin, you know, things like that. Like, I think that they're setting it up where, you know, almost like Innsmouth, there's a pact on this island, you know, something like that. So far, I haven't seen it other than that island being really insular. Which is one of my favorite statements of redundancy, an insular island. So it's pretty neat. Who knows? It might fall, you know, it might fall off a cliff later on, but so far I am intrigued by it. Any questions?
I was gonna say that's good for a Lovecraft type game, is having good intrigues.
So. Yeah. No, I want to see more. And it's Lovecraft. It makes you want to see more until, oh no, don't show me anymore, please.
You get madness, but not the kind that he intended.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Go ahead.
It sounds like a good thing to lean into the stats aspect of it, because like I've watched Gary do a few of the like choose your own adventure type things, but they're like Lovecraft themed, and those seem like much more interesting than like video games I've seen of it, where you have like to track your madness and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be curious how the sanity system works in that as well. The other thing that I've been playing, so I did some Resident Evil 7 DLC that I hadn't played yet. So I played Not a Hero, which is the kind of continuation of Resident Evil 7's story. It takes place right afterwards. You're playing as Chris Redfield. From the main body of the series, his appearance in Resident Evil 7, it doesn't have an awful lot of bearing on the events of the game. It's very surprising later in the game when you find out that like this takes place in the same world as the previous ones, that like Umbrella is a thing.
How much? Because in like 6, you straight up destroy significant portions of China, right?
Yeah, but that's not Umbrella, you know. That's
not in the Chinese version of the game. They censored that part out.
Yeah. I just meant
like, does this apparently take place in like the crazy version of Resident Evil world, or the slightly less crazy earlier version?
I have no idea. Like, there's a newspaper article that you find like about the UN not, this is a different DLC, about the UN not approving an aid package for one of the places where Jake was in Resident Evil 6. So it's unclear, it's ambiguous, but the idea being that Chris is working for Umbrella, which is reincorporated as a private military contractor that specifically is going around and trying to neutralize biological threats.
He also is in a Halo suit.
Yes, he is absolutely. He's got like a Master Chief heads up display. It is very weird. But yeah, it's you going after the last surviving member of the Baker family. It's neat. It definitely feels of two minds because it's very shootery. You know, you've got like an automatic shotgun with an ACOG scope, and you're going through. It's very combat heavy. It introduces a new kind of enemy that is invulnerable until you use a very limited kind of bullet against it. A ramrod bullet is what they call it.
And doesn't that one shot him then? That's a very heavy twist.
Yes. But they're very limited. And eventually, because I was playing on normal, they threw so many at me that it made no sense to use any other kind of ammo. But yeah, like the story
uses on regular people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. But yeah, the story stuff in it was pretty neat. It brought some closure, to different aspects of it. And, I'm curious what they are going to do in Resident Evil 8, like where there is to go. Especially given a particular development at the end of Not a Hero. I'm led to believe that End of Zoe, which I intended to play, is a better piece of DLC that does does more to provide closure and is just generally more satisfying as a story. But I was not able to play that this weekend. I didn't download it. I just bought it.
Is that going to be next week's stream then, or this weekend's stream?
I'm going to try and do it this week. This is during a weeknight because I want to start a new game next weekend. It feels like I've been playing RE7 forever. Not that that's a bad thing. It's just, you want to do something different. And then I also did, Ethan Must Die, the challenge mode, which, it was fun playing that on stream, for people. Because, you know, I got to laugh about being bad and I got to laugh about the game being way too hard.
What is Ethan Must Die?
Okay, so Ethan Must Die. It's kind of like it's a fixed situation. You are trying to get to the greenhouse to stop Marguerite. However, the enemies are all incredibly hard to the point where even a regular molded will probably kill you in one hit. If they hit you, and they take a lot of ammo to go down, you start out with a knife, just a knife. You have to hope that you find item boxes that will, you have to find item boxes that will, maybe give you something. But the way it works is that inside of that might just be one component that you have to mix with something else.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. But yeah, it is incredibly difficult. The items are randomized, and I was not able to get very far. If you die, you leave a little gravestone marker, and if you have to destroy the gravestone marker, and you're going to get one of your items back from your previous run.
So is there a strategy to just die a bunch of times and then just save up all the gravestone markers and then get them all in one run?
No. If you die without getting your gravestone marker, the first one disappears. You just you only have a gravestone marker from your most recent death.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Dark Souls rules.
Kind of. Yeah. It's way too difficult. I understand, you know, even in chat, there are people who play RE7 on challenge modes because they find that fun. Cool. I wouldn't take it away from you. That's not what it's not the way that I like to engage with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I've never been too into the challenge stuff in Resident Evil games. However, Jack's birthday is very, very fun. That mode. Did you see that, Ben? Did you tune in?
I didn't see that one. I only saw Not a Hero for a little bit and that was it.
Okay. Jack's birthday is like the joke mode. It's incredibly funny, but it's also very systems heavy. You're in locations from the game, but they're kind of closed loops or closed circuits. Your goal is to find food to feed to Jack.
Okay.
You know, he's sitting there in a party hat and like special party glasses and like, oh, he's just saying, I'm hungry. You know, like, oh boy, I'm wasting away here. and you go out into the levels, it's timed. As you kill enemies, it freezes the clock for a little bit. And you're picking up items. You have the same limited inventory space. So you have to like balance like, okay, how much ammo am I going to take out in this run, or how many weapons, because I need to have enough room left to take, you know, to gather things. And you also want to make sure like, okay, I could feed Jack the chicken. However, there might be some spices out there that I can mix with the chicken to make it spicy chicken. And that will get hit, that will fill his meter up more.
Cause he doesn't want to eat if it's too spicy.
No. So like, if you just pick up, if you just try and feed him the spices, like the peppermill, he'll eat it, but then it'll throw up. So it won't actually give, it won't actually give him any
bonus.
Hurts
his meter.
Yeah. So you want to mix it. You want to make spicy chicken because spicy chicken satisfies him more.
Okay. It sounds very Japanese.
It's incredibly goofy. Also, it's wonderful because, you know, like it's full of a lot of enemies. However, they do not, crank up their health or their resistance. Like, you know, you can kill them like normal. However, all the enemies have like party hats or football helmets on. They've got little decorations on them. Yeah,
they all dressed up for the birthday party.
Yeah. It's super goofy. And each time, you know, you're ranked when you finish. If you get a new rank, then you get new special abilities that will like highlight items in the area for you, or like give more knockback on your attacks, just a bunch of stuff like that. Yeah. So, I mean, Jack's 55th birthday, that mode is way more up my alley than, then Ethan Must Die.
Gotcha. I'm probably going to be watching a video of the Jack's 55th birthday after we're done recording.
Yeah, it's real fun. Yeah. So any questions about RE7?
No questions. It seems like it has like as much content or is as like flavorful as like RE4 is, I guess, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of it. Now, David, how about you?
So not a whole lot. I, based on some, chat in the, co-op, Slack, I ended up, installing Fortnite again and giving it a try.
Okay.
And, it's really improved a lot. They've, the specifics would basically be really, really boring, so I'm probably not going to go into them too much, but, you know, they've done a lot, put in a ton of different systems to allow you to earn loot. So, you know, it feels now like you should be able to, you know, kind of earn things indefinitely without having to shell out for loot boxes. There's also, a Halloween event going on that's, kind of fun. They've got a different, zone that's kind of a Transylvania themed, and you have to go around just mostly doing silly things. So for example, one of the missions, you learn that, the main antagonist Vlad is, you know, going to, return from the dead to reclaim his throne. So your mission is to basically go through the levels and destroy all of the thrones you find. So it's just got a very weird, like, you know, sense of humor. They've done a lot more with, you know, adding a lot of different variant character classes and, you know, kind of, it feels like the character classes and the weapons have sort of gelled to the point where they're more systemized. So there's, I guess, you know, more of a meta, but not just a, you know, this is the only character that everyone plays, but more that there's a sense of, you know, if you're looking for this, this is what you need to do to, you know, go there.
Hmm.
So for example, one of the things you can unlock with the Halloween event that I've been using is a character that is dressed up like a cowboy for Halloween, and so she specializes in using revolvers and in particular six shooters.
Okay.
So it's, you know, a completely different gameplay style to before that I was using mostly light machine guns.
Hmm.
So yeah, it seems like the game's really getting to where it needs to be. There's still, you know, some issues with the fact that they've got kind of a weird system where that, you know, say I had just started playing and played, you know, roughly the amount I, you know, have this past weekend, you know, I likely could have gotten that gunslinger character.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically an end game level character.
Oh, wow.
So it's a thing where I guess the way I should explain it is if you look at like World of Warcraft or something like that, you know, they have different item rarities. But unlike World of Warcraft, no matter at what point in the game you get an item of a certain rarity, if it's a, you know, the highest rarity item, that's an end, you know, or at least once you level it up will be an end game item.
Hmm.
Whereas a low rarity item, even if you get it at the end of the game, will never be an end game item.
Hmm.
So that kind of creates, you know, a situation where the progression doesn't always quite work.
Huh.
You know, just in terms of like, you know, there's, you know, things where, say, I really want to use a shotgun, but I don't have any shotguns that can ever be, you know, worth investing into.
Can you switch to a different character, a different class that will that comes with one? Or
definitely it's more though a thing where it's like you know, generally there'll be a subset of, you know, the various options that what a given player likes to play, and, you know, depending on how your loot drops go, you may or may not be well positioned to do that.
Yeah,
but I mean, you know, overall it seems, you know, it seems workable. Yeah, I mean, I'm really, really enjoying it. Like I said, I love just this stupid humor.
Mm-hmm.
It has. Yeah, I haven't tried the Battle Royale mode. I'm still not sure that interests me at all, but, you know, maybe I'll check it out.
Oh, gotcha. So that's not what you've been playing. You've been doing like the single player?
Yeah, so this, well, it's multiplayer, but it's co-op, PvE.
Okay, I got you. So it's wave, like wave combat kind of stuff. I was confused when you mentioned classes.
Yeah, so basically they've got PvE mode that it's, you know, the same, you know, very large map, maps, but it tends to focus around, you know, variants of, you know, defending some objective by building forts and traps and things like that.
Yeah.
So I do have to say, one thing I do continue to enjoy about the game is they do a lot more in terms of the sophistication of a lot of the destructible environments than they you know, necessarily would have to. So for example, with the Halloween stuff, there's a bunch of, you know, gothic mansions and stuff like that, and many of them will have intricate networks of catacombs below them if you try to dig through the floors. So, you know, it's a thing where, you know, they very much could have just you know, either, you know, had no destructible terrain or just, you know, been very cookie cutter, but it definitely seems like they go out of their way to put in interesting things.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Since playing, or since putting a bit more time into this, do you feel that you have more to talk about with the teenagers in your life?
maybe. I'm the problem is that the PvE is still not free to play, so I feel like anyone without a credit card is still at a distinct disadvantage.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, so you're in the adults club with all the boring people?
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. It is still very confusing to me, the whole thing with how this has become like a cultural icon.
Yeah, I saw a Fortnite Monopoly at Target the other day and felt very old.
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't so much, like, it doesn't surprise me just that, you know, things become popular, you know, that's kind of as they do, but I don't quite get how mainstream it's become. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird, right? So Minecraft came out, like, the beta was 2009, like 2010, the year that we graduated college, right?
Mm-hmm.
Round about there, right? Give or take a year or so. Enjoy. I 100% could and can still wrap my mind around why Minecraft was and is very popular, especially with kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that I cannot, you know, I cannot make headway. Like I would need like a, you know, an explainer for olds to understand what people even like about Fortnite, which wouldn't even get down to like, you know, helping me understand, why it's resonant. Is it just because we were that much younger when Minecraft hit big and we were closer to that? Or am I out of touch, like, or are the kids wrong?
We need like an intern for the level who can explain these things to us.
So I feel like what confuses me though is even with Minecraft, like that was definitely, you know, super popular. You know, you can still go to the grocery store and like find Minecraft toys in the toy aisle.
Right.
But there's never the thing where, like, you know, you'd read articles on, I don't know, like ESPN about, you know, what sports people are really into Fortnite, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that's what confuses me, is the fact that, you know, it seems like it's, you know, that's kind of what I mean when I say it seems a little bit more mainstream or something. Mm. Maybe just people who play video games are more squarely within the, you know, age bracket that is like people that do stuff in society.
Yeah, like eight years ago, it wasn't necessarily ready. The mainstream wasn't necessarily ready to pick up Minecraft the way that it did, even though Minecraft is basic as all fuck. Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to veer too far. I mean, too late, but it is bad for us to venture too far. And I don't understand young people. But yeah, I didn't mean for my offhanded joke about you, having something in common with teens to turn into that.
No. I mean, I think it's an interesting question though. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I know. As long as we don't start writing articles about how millennials are destroying X.
Yeah. If X cannot live in a world of millennials, it was never that good in the first place.
Yeah. Just like pandas.
Is Fortnite all, David?
Yes, it is.
Cool. How do you all feel about buttoning it up?
Sure.
The credit. Thank you everybody for listening to this episode of The Level. So as far as announcements and stuff go, we will have details about Duckstream probably coming up here in a little bit. We are still in the process of planning, but yes, we will have a Duckstream this year. Look for it to happen sometime in December, and to have cool shirts and designs and things like that around it. Otherwise though, for this show, you know, the things that you can do, you can, tell your friends, leave ratings and reviews, etc. But most of all, please come back next week. I see no sense in prolonging the admin. So if you... Oh, wait. No. How do I end the show? Oh, no. It's going to go on forever. I've been Cole Ross. You can find me at Cole Ross on Twitter. David.
I'm David Mysmith, and depending on how tomorrow goes, I may be David Mysmith at New York or David Mysmith at Canada.
At the Yukon territories. Bet?
I've been Ben Merkel at MerkelB on Twitch.
And stick around for some titles. All right, who's got stuff for me?
I have two.
Okay.
I have Triclone Support and Insular Island.
Okay. Ben?
I did not write any down, but there was one that I had that I did not write down.
Do you remember?
I will try and remember. It's something like Fishing with Bullets, but not that. All right.
No.
Never mind.
Okay. Sorry, I can't help you. And so I had just clone support on mine. We can decide if you like try clone support or just clone support. I also have just like pandas.
I'm going to have to throw in for just like pandas. I mean, of course. But...
Of course, yeah. Ben, how do you feel about just like pandas?
I am fine with either title or either variant of the one title.
Okay. Let's do just like pandas.
That's weird.
Just because clone support happened like in the first couple minutes.
I don't want to front load the title.
You want to make them wait for it, right?
Yeah.
Strategy.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'm going to go and do a little bit of Witcher.